Welcome to 4th Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. Today, Dave and I are talking about how to keep the home and heart fires burning. And you can find more family resources at mystronghome.com. And if you want to communicate with us at all, email us at 4@4thstream.com. That's the actual number 4@4thstream.com.
Well, really, this conversation is about intimacy, and it's not just about sexual intimacy. There's more to intimacy than that, and we come at that from different perspectives depending upon who we are. I wrote this quote down. Growing up in our culture, I have discovered we know very little about true love. Now, that's me. That's a quote from me, but I've come to that conclusion that I can't rely on this society to tell me what love is, because it is a very confused world and confused society. I have to go back to deeper principles.
I'm sure it's been confused for a long time, but I don't think it helped that we are sort of products of the 60s and 70s when everything was so loose. And consequently, I think it just makes us more, we brought in some of that confusion, and it's just continued to play out so that it's even more confusing.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And we confounded it, you know, and multiplied it. I wrote a few questions down. How can I know if I'm experiencing true love? So this is kind of, it just talks about the home fires, keeping them burning.
Overarching questions.
Yeah. How can I know if I'm experiencing true love? True love does involve sex, but it's obviously not merely sex. Commitment is apparently a part of true love. But how does one keep a long-term commitment? And should I even expect long-term commitment? You said something interesting the other day when we were talking about weddings. And we were talking about the idea of vows. And you said vows is kind of a...
It's an unused word. It's a word in our culture. Nobody knows what it means. I think it should be replaced with the word promise. I promise to do this, because it's like, oh, well, maybe I'd think twice if I had to say the word promise.
Well, and if you're going to keep promises, because I think you're right. I think people gloss over the concept of vows because it's not something that is commonly understood in our culture. But when it comes to making a promise and keeping it, I like this. Just how much of myself should I be willing to sacrifice for the sake of someone I love? And won't I run the danger of losing myself if I go too far? And I think that's the dilemma, particularly in a gender-confused world.
Well, and I think that really does show how our culture has made us assume that losing a little of ourselves in the marriage means it's worse for us, or it's going to make us unhappy, that I'll be totally under someone's control. And somewhere, don't we have to go into it willing to sacrifice a little of our independence? Otherwise, it's not really a marriage, is it?
I mean, no,
that
just
sounds
like it.
That sounds like a socially expensive friendship, in the sense, you know, like a high maintenance friendship. Everything I want for my independence, I get to have. And so you can't have that in a marriage. So I think we need to learn how to go into a marriage that, yes, I'm going to lose a little of myself, but I'm going to find way more. And that's what I think gets lost.
Well, and yeah, and I think reciprocally, that's important then when the other partner in a marriage makes those kinds of decisions to humble themselves. For us to notice that is also very important, because that's what becomes reciprocal about it. We're both humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He can exalt us at the proper time. And you know, that's one of the things about a marriage, is you can't look at it as just as a husband and wife. You've got to see it as there's a third person in that relationship. And it's one of the reasons why we have so much difficulty in the area of marriage right now.
And I think it's the idea of we've lost the understanding of becoming one instead of staying two people, which you can do. But if you're going to be married, then the whole point is to become one.
Well, we found several principles helpful for kindling the spark in our relationship. This is in no way implies that we don't highly value our consistent and deep long-term commitment to each other, but we've come to recognize that there are things that we can do to help keep the romance in our relationship. And I kind of want to go through these, and you can tell me what a great job I do.
I can do that.
First of all, and again, this is from a worksheet from the mystronghome.com, And you can find these worksheets, you can find videos and, you know, recordings and whatever. And they're just all very helpful. You just kind of pick them out and work on them here and there. Or you can go through it as a course if you'd like to do it. It's absolutely free. Here's the first one. Don't quit experiencing new things together. And don't be afraid to rediscover old ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's the whole thing that when you feel like you're in a rut, you may actually be in a rut.
Right.
And we had to come to the conclusion that that was our own creativity taking a nap.
Yeah.
We had to do something about that. This was no one else's problem. It was ours. And it didn't mean that you were boring or I was boring. We had just fallen into something. And it doesn't even take that much creativity to suddenly spark a whole new round of things happening. I also find that sometimes one of us can be in a rut and it's easy to look to the other. Like if I'm in a rut and feel it, I want to look to you to get me out of it. And I have always felt like that's a little different. That seems like that should be more my responsibility to take care of that. Because there's something going on in me, and that's not your fault.
I totally agree. Well, you know, the initiative, and that's kind of what you're referring to there. That's what was coming to my mind as you were talking. The initiative needs to come from both of us on keeping the spark going in our relationship, keeping things moving forward. And when you initiate and I initiate and we take turns, well, then that kind of solves some of the issue related to the rut. And then if we are in a rut together, that might take a little bit more attention and a little bit more energy to deal with that. The second thing that I wrote down on keeping the home fires burning is continue to explore your partner's interests. You know, again, back to intimacy, it's not just a matter of a sexual relationship. It's a matter of us overlapping and feeling cared about and interested in one another's interests. And I think that is such a big part of romance that is kind of, I don't know, just it's kind of glossed over, or it's not in phase or something.
Yeah, we don't see it as intimacy at all. And this just came to my mind. You played golf when we first got married, and you would get up and do it early in the morning. You would walk to the golf course, and you'd be done by maybe 8 o'clock. You just enjoyed getting out there and doing it. I can remember you coming home one day. I met you with our daughter coming up the street, and I asked how it was, and you said, you know, I'm done golfing. And it was like, what? And you hung up your golf clubs for years because you'd been on the golf course and you really felt like God was saying to you, these are 2 hours you could be spending with your family. That deeply touched me that you were willing to give that up. There's the other side of that, of creating room for someone where you know they have an interest that maybe they've given up because of the rigors of life. And, you know, just to show that you notice that in them, or remember, you know, buy them that tool they need or the book that just kind of ignites that spark again. It just means so much to have your spouse feel like he remembered or she remembered that I really do love to do this.
Well, I don't want to get started on all the sacrifices that you've made that compare and go way beyond that. And I want to get to this part, too.
Okay.
Don't let romance and sex get boring.
Yeah.
Leave it to the guy. You know, I want to go for the sex part here and let's talk about that. But, you know, it's easy for, you know, in a long-term relationship for that spark, that part of our spark to leave. And it does need attention.
It does. And I was just with friends this morning for breakfast, and I asked them this question. What would you tell someone who was a little younger? Because the one gal right away said, well, you know, as it's gotten older, it's just gotten more comfortable. But we had to go through a lot of phases to get there. And she, you know, mentioned whipped cream and the different things of how you get
there. This is a family show.
This is a family show. That's all I'm going to say. But the whole idea of keeping it creative. But here's, since we're a little older, she said, what she tells her daughters now is, you will never regret saying yes, but you might regret saying no. So that's a place to start, you know, if you've slacked off or let yourself get off track. And I'm only speaking from a woman's perspective here, but I thought, what great advice for your daughters.
Well, men's and women's needs are different. Mm-hmm. And again, in a gender-blurred society, we're trying to make those things the same. They're never going to be the same. And so if we can address romance in a way that, you know, really sees it from the other person's perspective, that's really a lot of what intimacy is all about. Mm-hmm. Can I take into account the other person? A couple of things. We're obviously running out of time because we spent so much time talking about sex there. But Don't stay angry or bitter without getting help. This is really important. If you feel like you're stuck, find an older couple or some peers that appear to, you know, be able to be pulling it off, you know, better than you are, and just have conversations, talking, and counselors will tell you this. We just don't talk to each other anymore. Mm-hmm. Now, there's an appropriate way to do that and an inappropriate way, but don't stay angry or bitter without getting help and including somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you find that your rut, you know, like we mentioned earlier, is that you're mad all the time, really just don't let that go on a minute longer. Get help, get it figured out, because being angry makes you so tired.
Well, and pursue enjoyable and encouraging relationships with other couples who love and enjoy each other as well, because you know, there's nothing more of a downer to your personal relationship than to be around people who are sour.
Yeah, and early on, we thought that couple friends meant the guys would be best friends and the gals would be besties. But that has been rarely how it has started for us. In fact, probably never. But what has happened is that we would have an enjoyable time with a couple, and either way, you just begin to build on that, and you can continue to get together. And if they're working on their marriage the way you are, it really is encouraging to keep it up.
A couple of extra tips here. Reflect and recount your successes, because the rigors of life, you know, take so much energy. When you do succeed, you know, talk about it and make a list somewhere.
This has been so good for us. Sometimes I would be so down about another round of things that would come up that we'd needed to work on. Sometimes I just felt like I can hardly face another issue that we have to work through. And you were always really good at reminding me of how far we'd come and how committed we are and how we're going to get through this successfully. Those good words really gave me hope. And it would have been hard for me to face another issue if you hadn't continually pointed up the path and said, this is where we're going, and we've gotten here because we know how to do this.
Somebody listening today is going, man, this guy's really got it figured out here, because you're saying a lot of nice things about me today.
It's your day.
Two more things. Don't be afraid to openly discuss your defeats, your shortcomings, and your fears. Because, again, those things are motivators and they push things along, and you want to make sure that you're covering those.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know if this sounds exactly what I mean. I don't know if I've got the right words, but I always loved you more tenderly, I think, when I knew what your struggles were than when you tried to get through them silently.
Mm-hmm.
It was just good for
shared.
Me.
Shared.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sharing
life.
It
didn't make me see you as weaker.
Yeah, which is it's so counterintuitive.
I know, men don't like to do that.
No, we don't. To conclude this, be lifelong companions and friends. And I wrote, choosing to not live separate lives, because we have seen that often where people just go on two separate tracks, and that's not intimacy.
Yeah, a lot of people stay married for a long, long time just leading separate lives, and it can totally be done, but it's not nearly as satisfying in mind and heart and emotions as digging deep and becoming truly one.
Companionship is the key to a satisfying marriage, and to live as true friends is worth the work. And the gold standard for real partner spirituality happens here.
You can find more video and course information at mystronghome.com.
ForStream is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to ForStream.com and click on the radio button.
Together we are finding hope at ForStream.com.
I've really enjoyed the conversations that we've had, Bernadette, about intimacy, about communication, and about how to keep the home fires burning. And I really do appreciate your part in doing that, because we're
partners.
We are. We're best friends.
We are.